Got a test real quick. What is the name of the book that comes after Nahum? Okay, find that book for me. Chapter 2. I want to look at verse 14 of chapter 2 just for a second or two. And we are told, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. It's kind of interesting. The Bible says they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. There's a reality going around that NBC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC have no clue. Do you understand that if you do something good, it'll never make the news? You notice I said if. I should have said when. News doesn't sell good stuff. News sells bad reports, fake news, all kinds of stuff. But there is a news that God wants his people to understand. And if we don't understand, we're not going to accomplish the idea, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come" where?
On earth as it is in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here. Now here's what's happening. There's a lot of confusion. There's massive confusion in churches. And the confusion is man tries to interpret the Bible and doesn't take what God says, but takes what leaders say or somebody else says and builds a doctrine out of it. I'm going to tell you something. You're not saved when you were baptized as a child. You don't go to heaven because you're good. There is a gospel message, and that gospel message must be proclaimed about transformation.
Amen.
The word transformation means to be transfigured or changed. How many of you have accepted Christ? How many realize that you're transfigured?
Yes.
When you came to Christ, the Bible says, if anyone, say, "I'm an anyone."
I'm anyone.
If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation. How did that happen? It happened because the Holy Spirit transformed you and placed you like into the image of Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. The confusion is this, and it's why Jesus is not glorified in every nation by every person. And you say, "Man, that's pretty dogmatic." It's because we as believers get all entangled with different beliefs. And we want to hold on to ours because we thought of them or we heard them or we gave it. And what happens, turn with me to John 17, quickly. John 17. If you haven't seen this before, it's time we see it. Jesus is talking just before he goes to the cross, John 17:22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Do you get that? There's a glory that Jesus is giving us, has given us. And that glory is that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Now here's the catcher. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by what? Love. But they're going to know that I came from you because of unity, because of oneness. And the world sees a distorted picture, unfortunately, because of all the denominations and all the different views and all the interpretations. Let's come to a point at COC that we understand one thing. That nothing has to be added to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Can we handle that?
Yes.
That Jesus died for our sins, rose again for our justification, is the mediator between God and man, and nothing else has to happen except us receiving that. Amen. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you are saved. How many want to vote? And so we come to a place and you say, Pastor, you're dogmatic. Of course I'm dogmatic. If you're standing on the precipice of hell and you said, I better get some water sprinkled on me or I'm going there, you're still going there.
That's right.
I was at a funeral a while back. I'm not picking on anybody. Please. I'm not saying we're the only way. I said there is only one way.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
I'm not saying we've got it all together. We don't have it all together. I'm just saying, but there's one way and one person that brings salvation, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was at a funeral a while back, and I sat there because I'd never heard this before. I mean, I've been in funerals where the Holy Spirit said, oh, shut up to me, because my mind is going and I'm thinking, doesn't sound right. And I'm not the judge, okay? And the pastor stands up and says of this gentleman, I know he's in heaven because I fed him Eucharist. It wasn't Catholic Church. You're not going to heaven because you took communion this morning. You're going to heaven because the Jesus died so you could have communion.
That's right.
Is your Savior.
Amen.
And so the body of Christ needs to come together. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of things out there that we just need to say. A lot of that stuff's not important. The life in Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, valuable. The Word of God, valuable, important, necessary, okay? And so we move on from there. We have come to a place, this is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I don't mean to. That we think about salvation and we eliminate the rest of the kingdom. You say, what are you talking about? We have a gospel of salvation, which is to get people saved and get them to heaven, right? And then we have the gospel of the kingdom, which God wants to bring to earth. And so it's the people who are saved that need to just understand that there is a gospel of the kingdom of God, that heaven invades earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, and we begin to understand that we are out, now listen to me, to change lives, to change towns, to change cities, to change states, to change nations, and to change worlds. So what is this kingdom all about? It's about what's in heaven should be on earth. Because most of what's on earth doesn't get to heaven. How many of you are going to need a doctor in heaven? How many of you are going to need a psychologist? How many of you are going to need an IRA? Churches won't even need a 501c3. How many of you are going to need health insurance? How many of you are going to take those attacking demons with you? So what are you talking about? You see, when heaven invades earth, when heaven invades this church, when the kingdom of God is ministered to, now keep in mind, the Bible says that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is what in Romans 14, 17? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? How many of you are righteous? How many of you are walking in peace? Boy, is anybody joyful? And so the kingdom of God wants to be established in our lives. Now, I hear people saying, you know, that Israel was the pet, God's pet. You know, everybody else was kind of a limit. Israel wasn't God's pet. Israel was God's pattern. Israel wanted the whole world, I mean, God wanted the whole world to pattern themselves after Israel and follow him. Now listen to me. Christians are not God's pet in 2017. They're his pattern to demonstrate to a world that there is love and joy and peace and righteousness and holiness available.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes we don't catch it. These things that happened last night in London should never have happened. It's crazy. It's crazy that you have to try to limit people coming into a country because they're dangerous, because they're terrorists, because they're deadly. They need Jesus.
Amen.
And their religion doesn't teach them that. And so the church is kind of on a precipice of, are we going to really speak truth? Or are we going to kind of just kind of float our own lives and do our own thing and let them do what they want to do and live as they want to live? And nothing happens. Nothing changes. And we look at the world and say, God, what are you going to do? You know what God's going to tell you? He created you. I think there's a song, something like that. I created you. I think Matthew West sang it. See, I'm really up on some of this stuff. He created us to be world changers. And you say, well, how can I do that? I can't even change somebody in the old town. No, you can't. You know why? Because our expectation level, we're walking on it. A lot of believers have succumbed to the fact that nothing is going to change. I just want God to take me out of here. I want to escape some way from all this stuff. And God is saying, wait a minute, that's not why I saved you.
That's right.
I saved you to be community changers and world changers and people changers. through my Holy Spirit, which is living in you. I change you so that you can be involved in the kingdom of God in 2017 and see people's life radically change by the power that lives within you. And he said, I don't want you standing out there all by yourself. I want you to embrace everyone who knows me. And without that, friends, it is a hopeless world. When you take Jesus Christ out of America or out of any country or out of any nation, you will find hopelessness reigns. It's not simply that we need to join the common market nations or the European community, or we need NAFTA, or we need to join with other countries, or we need to make sure we don't have any pollution. But we come to a place where our lives are so in turmoil because we know what to say and we know what to do and we know how to live, but we're afraid that if we do that and we don't compromise, then we're different. You're already different. There's a difference between the believer and non-believer. It's God. So what do we do? I don't know. If I throw this out and let you respond. I believe number one, not even in any special order. I believe number one, we need to yield our total lives to the works of the Holy Spirit. Do we understand that the Holy Spirit came to fulfill what Jesus started? Do we get that? The Holy Spirit came. Jesus looked at his disciples one day and says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. But I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to come to you basically through the person of the Holy Spirit, who's going to pick up what I started and carry it on, and greater works than I do shall you do because I go to my Father. And so, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit is God. He's not an it. We learned that on Wednesday night, okay? He's a person. Jesus said, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. Or the Holy Spirit will lead us to the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, and you know this probably as well as I do, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... I can't hear what you're saying. You're freedom. Mumbling. Freedom. You can do better than that.
Freedom!
Okay, freedom. You sure you got it?
Yes, sir.
There's freedom. What does that mean? That means you're not incarcerated by the devil. I want you to see that. I believe that we have to be prepared, really prepared, to stand against the negative thoughts and devices of the world and the devil.
Amen.
What do you find yourself talking about? The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. But what do we talk about? The Bible says there's power, there's life and death in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
And because the news media that we've already talked about picks something up, it doesn't mean it's true.
That's true.
How many of you are going to base your life on an anonymous source? They don't know where it came from, and nobody else does either. Okay? Come on. I wasn't born at night. Not last night, anyway. When I hear somebody anonymous with the name Anonymous speaks, it means nothing to me. And by the way, who are they? Have you ever defined they? They said. Who are they? How about saying God said?
Amen.
We know him.
Amen.
How about saying the Holy Spirit said? We know him.
That's right.
How about saying there's freedom in Jesus Christ? We know him.
Amen.
So therefore, if we are going to be used to transform and change and transfigure cities and nations and towns and villages, we need to be changed first ourselves. We need the power of Jesus Christ to free us and through the Holy Spirit of all fear. Because of what happened in London, I'm not afraid to walk the streets of Sisseton. Come on. We come to a place where we can't allow the words of people to infect or affect how we're going to live and how we're going to see things. We need a vision. And then when we pray about having a vision, we need to do what we've asked God to do through us. You say, what are you talking about? Okay, let me illustrate. Got a great illustration. I was sitting here today sleeping and suddenly I had a revelation. It's stormy, it's windy, okay? And Peter's in a boat. Right? Anybody remember Peter being in a boat when it's windy? Okay. And so this person comes walking on the water and Jesus says, I do not be afraid. And Peter says this now. Listen. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and walk on the water to you. Where did he want to go? Come on, where did he want to go?
Jesus.
He wanted to go to Jesus. The wind was already blowing, right? The storm was already there. So Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus, and suddenly he sinks. And I know people say, well, he saw the storm. He knew the storm was there when he got out of the boat.
That's true.
All that is an excuse.
That's right.
His goal was to get to Jesus, not have Jesus get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The problem with Peter is he did not fulfill his requests by getting to Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? He knew everything that was around. He knew the storm. He knew the wind. He started walking to Jesus, but he never completed the walk. How about us? We ask the Holy Spirit to do something. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. We ask the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of things through the name of Jesus. But do we finish it? God opens a door for us to go through, but do we finish? I'm going to tell you something. There was absolutely no reason for Peter to sink except he allowed fear to come in.
That's right.
And Jesus looked at him and said, he said it. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So as we are asking God to do something in our lives, as we are asking God to change something and make something and break some bondage and break some habit, don't go halfway. Allow Him to do the whole thing and complete the task, and don't become a tool where the Satan pulls you back into what God has pulled you out of. Because God is taking us, as we've been saying for the last few weeks, from glory to glory. It's from glory to glory. Every day from glory to glory. And you know what happens? Your messes start falling off. Your torment starts falling off. The temptations start falling off. Why? Because we're conformed to the image of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's empowering us to walk away from the things of the world. That's a great place to say amen.
Amen.
And so you're asking God to help you do something. Anybody ever do that? Have you made up your mind you're going to fulfill it through Christ? Have you made up your mind I'm walking this out? God is helping me. God is leading me. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking at the storms. I'm not looking at what people say. I'm not looking at what's happening. I'm walking this out because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's going to turn me back. Number two. I only got 14 left. Don't worry about it. Transformation, I honestly believe, for the world, for your community, for yourself, for people's lives, comes through praise and worship. You say, what are you talking about? Praise and worship in COC is not just a filler until the important one stands up to preach. You know, for years, years and years and years and years, praise and worship has been debated. Why? It's like somebody leaving church and said, I didn't like your music. I didn't like what you sang. Know what the answer is? We weren't singing to you.
That's right. Amen.
Forgive me. Well, I didn't like your prayer. Well, I wasn't praying to you. This place, if we're going to see transformation, need to raise the bar, needs to raise the level, needs to flow with God who's leading Kirk and Marnie and the rest to walk into. Wouldn't it be fun to come in here and be a little bit like the dedication of Solomon's temple? Solomon's temple, they had all the trumpets and the instruments and everything going on, and they had Asaph and the people leading worship, and as they were praising God, the glory of the Lord filled the place, and the priests could not enter in to minister what they were supposed to minister. He said, boy, that's scary. No, it's delightful. It is scary too. David brought the ark back in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16. Danced before the Lord. The music was there. Praise was there. Worship was there. Just glorifying Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, that allow the sacrifice of praise. And people think, well, that's just a sacrifice. We're just supposed to like offering. No, it's not. We're priests offering praise to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we're a group of priests offering sacrifices. What's the sacrifice? First ourself, next our praise. If we do not praise God, can you imagine walking in here some Sunday and Kirk and Marnie and Steve and Tricia and Mary are up there and Stan, and all of a sudden the chairs start singing. You'd run out of here. You'd say, oh, Pastor, you're nuts. Wait a minute, time out. Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming in on the donkey. How many remember that? And how many remember that the Pharisees were indignant because the people were praising Jesus? What did Jesus tell them? Jesus looked at them and said, if these people do not praise me, these rocks will. Now you're thinking, can that really happen? Of course. Why not? Because God made the rocks. He just didn't expect us folks to be them. He has put praise within you. How many have ever told your kids, good job? How many have ever looked at your children and say, that's wonderful? You praise them. Isn't it more important just to praise Jesus? Our children need praise. Our children need to be loved. Our children need to be told, you're doing a great job. But praise releases us into the freedom. There's a transformation happening through praise. And instead of cutting back, we need to increase it. And we need to allow praise to fill this place every day. Yes. I'd love to have a place of 24/7 praise. Why? Because he deserves it.
Amen.
He deserves it. If we're going to see transformation, we need to raise our level of expectation. When you hear God doesn't do that, or God can't do that, or God won't do that, that's not from God. Okay? When you're still fighting bondages, when you're fighting addictions, when you're fighting habits, when there are things in your life that still rise up, how many of you ever fight a temper? How many of you ever get mad? How many, when you get mad, say something you wish you wouldn't have? How many of you ever said this? No, I won't tell you. And so, we need to allow God to transform and then take that transformation and see other people. How many of us just get so afraid, even ashamed, to talk about Jesus? How many of us come to a place where we'll talk about anything else? I'm not going to talk about Jesus. I break that in the name of Jesus this morning. I break that right now. I believe in a boldness of the Holy Spirit that your mouth will open and you'll find yourself saying things you've never ever thought you'd say because of Jesus Christ. How many of us simply just have a hard time believing God's word? There's somebody here, you say God's word always works for somebody else, it just doesn't work for me. It works for everyone. You're warriors. You're world changers. You're community changers. You're school changers. Wherever you are, the presence of God is going in that area, and where God is, nothing's impossible.